Back in November, the city of Santa Rosa held an initial community meeting to hear input on how it should spend PG&E settlement funds to make improvements to Hopper Avenue and Coffee Park. Participants from Bikeable Santa Rosa and others in the community made a strong appeal for improved bike and pedestrian infrastructure along other measures to calm traffic and ensure more people-friendly streets. This week, the city will hold two public meetings focused on improvements to street infrastructure. Co-leader of Bikeable in Santa Rosa, Chris Gunther, joins us live on KSRO. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So these meetings coming up, there's really two main areas we're focusing on. It's Hopper Avenue and then the Jennings Avenue crossing near Coddingtown. But let's just take these in order when it comes to Hopper Avenue. Where's Bikeable at on this infrastructure? You know, we all know that Coffee Park was more or less decimated. I mean, leveled. It looked post-apocalyptic. And now PG&E funds might help make bicycling and pedestrian infrastructure better. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so as you said, the city has set aside some of the PG&E settlement funds to help reconstruct portions of Hopper Avenue that were damaged in the Tubbs fire. And they're holding a community meeting to hear input on some designs that they've developed for that. What we want to do is make sure that the city takes full advantage of this opportunity to really construct improved bike and pedestrian facilities as part of this project. Because this corridor is really important for connecting Coffee Park residents, not only to the restaurants and businesses that are nearby their newly reconstructed neighborhood, but also connects them to the rest of Santa Rosa.
This is sort of a really interesting moment in that you can kind of take a full look at the project in that if the neighborhood wasn't burnt down, you'd have to do this with traffic being at full blaze. Now they could kind of take a bigger perspective and make some like wider changes. Did I say that right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's a really rare opportunity to have these dedicated funds to be able to do this. And I actually applaud the city in really reaching out to the community to find out what sorts of improvements are going to work. What we want to do is make sure that the improvements they make are really meaningful and aligned with modern standards for safe and effective street design. So that means things like protected bike lanes, traffic calming measures, and safe intersections and crossings, things that make the street safe and inviting for people of all ages and abilities, and really creates that sense of connection.
Now, Chris, moving over to the Jennings Avenue, it's really a crossing near Coddingtown. I remember when SMART was really planning this out before the train tracks went in. And really, it's more complicated than I think a lot of people think it is. What exactly are you hoping to see? As I recall, there were maybe some ideas on building a bridge over so it connected Jennings so that you could continue over and into Coddingtown, or to build a tunnel underneath. And that got a lot of flack because people were worried, obviously, about that being unsafe. Can you give us your thoughts on this Jennings Avenue crossing?
Yeah, so the city has actually already proposed to construct what they call an at-grade crossing, so not over or under, but at the level of the tracks, that is actually meets all the applicable safety standards, state, federal, et cetera, while SMART is actually trying to overcome that or get around that. They like the over or under crossing because they are worried about safety on the tracks, and they're worried about potential interruptions to the train service, at least as I understand it. But the problem is that those other solutions are a lot more costly, they're going to take a lot longer, and they're going to be much more impactful to the surrounding neighborhood. Our interest is in making sure we get that connectivity for our bike and pedestrian network as quickly and effectively as possible, and we think the at-grade crossing is a way to do that, although we hope that the thinking of all the parties has evolved and there's maybe some possibilities for more compromise in the meeting this week.
Chris,
yeah, what if you hold...
Oh, I'm sorry, Larry, go right ahead. My apologies.
I'm just saying, what if you hold SMART's feet to the fire and say, if you want to build your overcrossing, you have to do it in a timely manner and an effective way?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the best solution, then we need to figure out a way to get it done quickly and make sure the costs are you know, reasonable and can be borne. But, you know, it's worth mentioning that when voters originally supported the creation of SMART, It was with the understanding that the line would enhance and be integrated with other forms of transportation, including biking and walking. So from our perspective, it's really, really important that SMART figures out how to accommodate these kinds of connections, because they're every bit as important as the train service in ensuring, you know, the future of transportation in Sonoma County.
We're speaking with Chris Gunther. He is co-lead at Bikeable here in Santa Rosa. Chris, thanks a lot for your time and bringing attention to this issue. I'm going to list off these dates, but you have a very good morning.
Thank you, too.
If anybody wants to attend those meetings, they're virtual. Their first one is tomorrow, Wednesday, March 1st at 5:30 p.m. And of course, you're going to be able to get onto that joining a Zoom call. Naturally, isn't everything Zoom now? And then the next meeting will be on Thursday, the 2nd at 6 p.m. Same thing.